Welcome to this podcast featuring well-known Bible teacher, Kevin Connor. For more information, visit kevinconnor.org.
Has become a grade tree. Okay, so tree is symbolic of letter A, a person, or letter B, a kingdom. Okay, and so I believe it represents the kingdom here in the parables of the kingdom. Now, under number 7, I put a number of scriptures there, but I want you to go to the Daniel 4 passage here, Daniel 4. And this is my own opinion here, and it's not my fault if I'm right, is it? Okay. All right. I believe this would be one of the reasons that the disciples didn't ask Jesus to interpret this parable, because though they had no New Testament, they had the Old Testament, so they would be familiar with some of the things here. So let's turn to Daniel chapter 4, and as I read the passage, Just read it in the light of this parable, because I believe it throws light on the parable. Okay, Daniel chapter 4, and I'm reading from verse 10. These were the visions of my head while on my bed. I was looking, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth. So a tree, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong. Its height reached to the heavens, and it could be seen to the ends of all the earth. Its leaves were lovely, its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it. The birds of the heaven dwelt in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. How many see it's very similar, like the parable of the mustard seed growing to a tree and the birds lodging in it? See, it's very similar language, so using the word to interpret the word. Now, just put down a couple of thoughts here. I want to do one more parable before we finish for today. In the scriptures I've given you, the birds or the fowls of the air, in Leviticus chapter 11, if you just want to pick up the seed thought, the Lord tells Moses how to tell the clean birds from the dirty birds. Okay, so clean and unclean, dirty birds, good birds. Okay? You don't have to be foul-minded on that. Some of you will get that about midnight tomorrow, I think. Revelation 18 about Babylon says, and the birds, Babylon's became the habitation of every unclean and hateful bird, so, and their demon spirits. So Revelation 18, 2. Daniel 2, Daniel 4, the passage I've just read you about the tree, and then Acts chapter 10 and 12 and so forth about the Gentiles coming into the kingdom there. So the birds there can be a mixture again of birds. Now, let's go to, in other words, the birds can represent regenerate and unregenerate people, church members and just nominal members, just different nationalities. And the birds, in this case, would lodge in the tree because they like to feed upon the seed that was in the mustard seed tree. All right, number 8, lodged in its branches. Okay, this is what I'd like to illustrate. Remember, we're interpreting something uninterpreted, so it had great branches. It's interesting, in John 15, the passage I've put there, Jesus said in this case, this tree, I am the vine and you are the branches. So this is what I believe has happened. Through church history, the church began as a small grain of mustard seed. Faith. The faith once delivered the saints. And then over the centuries, it began to grow and grow. And under Constantine, it became open to the heathen. And Constantine, whether he was ever saved or not, is really questionable. But he opened the church and made it the state religion so that the heathen flocked in by the thousands. They didn't have to give up their gods. And so you've got converted and unconverted, the heathen, the Christian, all lodging in the branches. And then this is what I believe has happened over the years. Okay? And don't say please. If we look at the, when I did the parable originally, it would be like this. So taking the parts of the parable, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took, sowed in his field. It's the least of all herbs, grew to the greatest, became a tree, shot out great branches, birds of the air, lodged in the branches. So you would look at it like that. What I've done now in application is, put it this way. Look at all the branches in Christianity, denominationalism. So you've got the great tree with branches. You know, there's the Catholic Church and the Anglican branch that came out from that, and the Methodists and the Quakers and the Presbyterian Brethren United, Christadelphian, Salvation Army, Charismatic, more man, less God. Christian Science, which is neither scientific nor Christian, Pentecostals, the Adventist Baptists. How many see, as people look at the church today, it's a great thing with many branches, denominational branches, never meant to be God's will. There's been an unnatural, phenomenal growth of Christianity, but branches, and all the mixture of dirty birds in it, good birds, clean birds, mixture. And I think that's the picture that we have in this parable. How many feel that's helped you on this one? Thank you for that underwhelming response again. Go to the bottom of your page as we sort of summarize this. Summary lesson. The kingdom of heaven in its present manifestation, the church, had a small beginning, but there came an unnatural growth and development. It attracted all kinds of birds, peoples, clean and unclean. Christendom has become a universal or worldwide great tree with many denominational branches. What branch of the church do you belong to? This parable illustrates the unnatural and external growth of the kingdom church. Everybody said amen. Amen. Thank you. Okay. Coming in for a landing, let's go to the most controversial parable. Okay. If you go this way, you get that one. Are you enjoying yourself? Thanks for being such a wonderful people. It's easy to feed hungry people, but you're wearing me out too. Wait till you're 80. That's all right for little chickens like you are. Okay, now let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. And for our last session together here, Matthew 13, and just one verse here, and again, this is a parable is uninterpreted. So Matthew 13 and verse 33, and it says here, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Okay, and this parable is repeated in Luke chapter 13. So only two Gospels speak of this parable, or write about this parable, Matthew 13 and Luke 13. So it's the parable of the woman and the hidden leaven. All right, so on letter A here, these are words I'd like you to circle. Number one, the kingdom of heaven is like or resembles, may be compared to. So number two, unto leaven. Circle the word leaven. Number three, which a woman, circle the word woman, which a woman took and hid, circle the word word. Is anybody else getting brain tired apart from me? Okay, circle the word hid. Okay. Sometimes I wake up in the night, I'm preaching to my wife and then take up a love offering, you know. Just kidding. Okay, hid. And then number five, in three measures. Circle the word three and the word measures. And then number six, of meal. So circle the word meal. And then number seven, part of our puzzle, you know, a jigsaw puzzle, work from part to whole and whole to part until the whole, circle the word whole, and then was leaven, circle the word leaven. Okay, now we're going to move right into this and go to letter B. Now, let me ask you a question as we start here. How many And if you've done Key of Knowledge Seminar, you are forbidden to answer me. Okay? All right. How many believe that leaven, in this case, is used in a good sense? Hands up. Don't be afraid. I mean, let me catch you. Give me some joy around here. Because people read this, the kingdom of heaven. It's like an unleavened. So leaven's used in a good sense. How many believe that's so? Hands up. How many haven't got hands? How many got a lying spirit? Hands up. Okay. How many don't believe it then? Hands up. One finger over here. Okay. How many don't know what to believe? You ignorant people. All right, let's hope we get the unity of the faith after this. All right, now, here are the major things we've got to interpret here, is we have to discover what the leaven is. Is it good or bad? We have to discover who the woman is. Is she a good girl or a bad girl? Because she's hiding. And then we have to discover what the three measures of meal are, and just the effect of leaven. So they are the main things we've got to discover. Now, Jesus didn't interpret this parable. And the disciples didn't even bother to ask him for an interpretation, which gives us a big clue. Okay? So, dear Father, I get tempted to do some things and then I have to say, get behind me, and then he pushes me. Okay. All right, so let's go to letter B as we explore together. Okay, number one, the first thing we have to look at is the woman. So I'm putting it in this order, okay, the woman. All right, now, the woman in Scripture, a woman in Scripture, is always typical or symbolic of a church, true or false. So we've got to find out whether she's a good girl or a bad girl. So a woman in Scripture is symbolic of a church, whether true or false. Now, I put some scriptures there, and we just don't have the type of time to turn to them. But Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 2, Jeremiah 6 verse 2, I'm quoting here, the Lord said, I have likened the daughter of Zion to a homely or a delicate woman. So Zion, the daughter of Zion, is likened to a delicate woman. Jeremiah 6, 2. Jeremiah chapter 3, and those verses there, 6, 11, verse 20. Israel and Judah are likened to a woman. And so he says, backsliding Israel, who's played the harlot, and I gave her a bill of divorce. Did you know that God was a divorce person? He gave Israel a bill of divorce. So for people who are saying you've got to be Israel or else, no, God divorced Israel. So how many fellowship God? You're fellowshipping a divorced person. Smile, yon candid camera. Anyway, just to draw to your attention that Israel and Judah are likened to, in this case, harlot, God gave a bill of divorce because of playing adultery. Revelation chapter 17, the great harlot church, great harlot there, Revelation 17. And then on the positive side, Ephesians 5 and verse 23 to 32 in Revelation 12, Paul says the church, the bride of Christ, husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We could say a lot on that, but the true church of bride. So a woman in the scripture could be either likened to a true or false church. Turn to this one. This is a very interesting one. It's not on your notes. Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 1. Isaiah 4 and verse 1. How many realize we're just scratching the surface of what's here? Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 1 is a good one. Isaiah 4 and verse 1. Let me have some holy water first of all. Some churches I go, they give me a decent drink like Sprite. No. Oh, I did say that once. I slipped it out once, and every time I came to the platform, there was a bottle of Sprite swallowed. No, you don't have to do it, true. Okay, Isaiah 4, verse 1. Listen to this one. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread, and we'll wear our own apparel, only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach. I'd like to spend a whole hour on that. Seven women taking hold of the skirt of one man and say, we'll cook our own doctrines up and our own bread, and we'll wear our own apparel of self-righteousness, but let us be called by your name. Call us Christians. How many think there's a whole hour's worth there? You want me to name the seven women?
Yes.
No. Because I've got one girl missing. Mormons, Latter-day Saints. Number two, Jehovah's Witnesses. Oh, they all cook up their own bread and their own doctrines, and they wear their self-righteousness, not faith righteousness, but they're called Christians. Wow, isn't that awesome? Christian Science, number three. Number four, Christadelphians. Number five, the Universalists. Number six, the Spiritualists. And number seven, for the life of me, I can't remember. Anyway, so it's very interesting. Seven women taking hold of one man. So let's cook our own bread and we are our own righteous. But let's be called Christians. So Christian churches like the branches. And there. Wow. All right, and one other thought there you might like to put down. Oh, what's that there? I can't remember the seventh one. You help my feeble mind. Okay. I've had healing of the memories. I can't remember a thing, you know. Of all the parables Jesus told, he only told two parables concerning women. One was a good one and one was a bad one. Okay, now, number two, the meal. I remember Jesus didn't interpret this, so we're trying to find if it was a good girl or a bad girl. All right, number two, the meal. Okay, let's go just to one scripture here. I'll give you the fill-in. Go to letter C and go to Leviticus chapter 2. So what we're trying to do is let the scripture interpret the scripture, because Jesus didn't interpret this part. Leviticus chapter 2. Now, as we go to Leviticus chapter 2, a couple of verses here, I want you to know what's happening here. Parable number 1, seed. Parable number 2, seed. Parable number 3, seed. Parable number 4, meal. Where does meal come from? Seed. Comes from wheat. Good seed. So it's part of an extension here. So now, listen to Leviticus chapter, what did I say, 2? And we won't read the whole lot, but let's go to the New King James here, verse 1. When anyone, Leviticus chapter 2, verse 1, when anyone offers a grain offering to the Lord, his offering will be a fine flour. He shall pour oil on it and frankincense. In the Old King James, it says a meat offering or meal offering. That's what it really is, the meal offering. And then go down to verse 11. No grain offering or no meal offering which you shall bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven. For you shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering to the Lord made by fire. It has to do with a meal offering. So on your notes, just go back here, just fill in a little bit. Letter A, the meal offering was offered to the angel of God, the angel of the Lord, the meal offering. Letter B, when there was poison in the pot, the prophet Elijah, I think it was, or Elisha, said, put meal in the barrel. And when the meal was put into the barrel, the food was healed. Then Leviticus 2, the meal or the grain offering. And then Leviticus chapter, letter D, Leviticus 7 onwards, it gives you the laws concerning the meal offering. It was God's food, so meal offering, so it comes from wheat. So the woman, good or bad, meal offering. Now, number three, the three measures. Three is the number of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And your first mention of this in Three Measures of Meal is Genesis 18. You've got the scripture there. Genesis 18, verse 6. And Abraham said to Sarah, make three measures of fine meal. That gives us a clue. Three measures of fine meal, and make three cakes for these three angels there, who I believe represent Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But three measures, that's the first mention. Luke chapter 11, I call this the parable of three friends. One friend, there was a friend in need, there was a friend in greed, and a friend in deed. So he came to his friend at midnight and said, lend me three loaves at the midnight hour. I've got a friend and I've got nothing to give them. So this is just number three there. And then Judges chapter, what have you got on your notes there? Okay, it should be Judges chapter 6. My computer's not converted yet and makes lots of spelling mistakes, especially on the Bible. So Judges 6, Gideon brought a meal offering to the Lord. And then letter D, I've already given you Leviticus 2 verse 11, no meal offering was to have leaven in it. Okay, so what I'd like to suggest on that, the three measures of meal, is the full revelation of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, as in the scripture. Number three, and it's meal, measures, full measure. So revelation of God as in the meal of the word. All right, so the woman, either good or bad, the meal, and then the three measures of meal. All right, now let's go to what page are you on, number 10? Let's go to number four, the most controversial part of this. And just be encouraged, you do not have to take this down. What I did to come up with what I'm sharing with this morning, I took my Strong's Concordance. Wow. All right, take it down, both hands. And I went, who's saying please here? Okay, I went through every reference in the Bible to leaven, whether it's good or bad. So every reference, first mention, progressive mention, those who've done Key of Knowledge, we remember this. Okay, right through to there. Then I went through every reference to leaven in the New Testament. So what I'm doing is just taking the main scriptures and see if we can find the answer whether leaven is used in a good sense or a bad sense. Okay. Thank you. So I just did that to see what we're doing. Okay. Now, let's go through some scriptures from this list first. And you may just need another sheet of paper at the moment. I'll fill in your diagram in due time. So just be patient. How are we doing? I reckon this clock has a little demon in. It's kicking the hands like that. I want you to go to Exodus chapter 12. Now we're just looking at the jigsaw puzzle. How many think the Word of God is exciting? Okay, so now Exodus chapter 12. And this is really sort of the first mention of leaven in the Bible. So we'll pick up in verse 15. Exodus chapter 12. Verse 15, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. Whoever eats leavened bread from the first day and the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. First mention of leaven, and you may start to fill, or just no, not fill in yet, is in relation to the Feast of Passover. In Passover, there was no leaven. And let me ask you the question, because I'm talking to a very intelligent bunch of people. Is leaven used in a good sense or a bad sense here? Bad. So first mention, bad. No leaven. Anybody has leaven, if you eat leaven for 7 days, you are dead meat. Or you will be cut off from Israel. That's a nicer way of saying the same thing. Okay, so no leaven in Passover. So if you want to go to number four here, you can put that under the Old Testament. Exodus 12, And there's other verses there. There was no leaven in Passover, Feast of Passover. All right? Next block running up and down, vertical. No, that's vertical. That's horizontal. That's vertical. Okay, vertical. Go to Exodus 13. Exodus 13. And we'll pick up in verse 2, only for time. And Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you come out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. Verse 6, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be feast of the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days. There shall no leavened bread be seen with you, neither shall leaven be seen with you all in all your quarters. So your next column there is, there was no leaven in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's why it was called that, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So you fill in there. So no leaven in Passover and no leaven in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. All right, number, going vertical here, Exodus 29. I'll give you the answer on this one. In the consecration of the priest to ministry, he was given some unleavened bread. So in the consecration of the priest, the consecration, no leavened bread was to be given. All right, next box down, I've already given this. In the meal offering, no leaven or honey was to be seen, to be in the meal offering. So no leaven, no leaven, no leaven. All right, so listen to it carefully. No leaven in Passover, no leaven in Feast of Unleavened Bread, no leaven in the consecration of the priest, no leaven in the meal offering. All those things pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Passover lamb. He is our unleavened bread. He is our great high priest. He is our meal offering. So leaven was forbidden on pain of being excommunicated there. Now let's go to your bottom column there, Leviticus chapter 23. And the sad thing in this chapter is God forgot what he wrote in the book of Exodus. He had a lapse of memory. Smile. And here he said they could put leaven in it. Oh, now I knew the Bible had contradictions in it. So listen to Leviticus 23, pick up in verse 15. Oh, we'll just have to skip some of the verses only for time's sake. Okay, let's see. Yeah, verse 16, pick up. Even unto tomorrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days and shall offer a new meal offering or a new grain offering, new meal offering, new grain offering. You shall bring from your dwellings 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deal of an ephah. They shall be fine flour. They shall be bacon with leaven. Oh, God. Did you forget what you said in the previous chapters? Now, here we seem to have a contradiction, and this is what I want you to fill in here as we're building our puzzle. Leaven was permitted in the Feast of Pentecost. I'll pick this up, see. No leaven in Passover, but leaven permitted in the Feast of Pentecost. But as you read the rest of the chapter, when they offered the 2 wave loaves, bacon with leaven, they had to offer unleavened bread. So the leavened was acceptable only through the unleavened. How many of you know the Pentecostal churches are only accepted in Christ? Because he's perfect. We may be spirit-filled, but we're not perfect. So God permitted it there. Now, let's go over to the New Testament quickly. And your next column, your next vertical column here. Matthew chapter 16, we're in that. Everybody doing okay? Is anybody's brain hurting? Besides mine? How many know this is why I speak and preach all night long? Matthew 16, listen to it. Verse 5 has a touch of humor about it. Now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware, and this is what I want you to put down, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So in that column, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Very clear. And it doesn't sound good. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we've got no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, oh, you little dingalings, have you been in my 3.5 years traveling Bible college and you don't even know what I'm talking about? I'll give you A- for all your exams. No, let's read it properly. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, oh, you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you brought no bread? Don't you understand? And remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Or the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? Don't you, oh, you dum-dums. Verse 11, here's the answer. How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Verse 12, then they got it. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the, everybody say it with me, doctrine. So leaven is likened to doctrine. So beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Doctrine. So leaven is likened to doctrine. Okay. Now, go over to Luke chapter 12 in the same little box there. Just keep hanging in there. We've only got a few more minutes. Okay. Luke chapter 12 and verse 1. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled on one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is very clear. So leaven is hypocrisy. So the scriptures interpret the scriptures. So they knew that. So leaven of hypocrisy. So we have the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, and the leaven of the Sadducees. We'll come to that. Okay. Go to the next little box there. And you've got the same scripture, but Acts chapter 23 and verse 8. And what was the leaven of the Sadducees? The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the body, or in angels, or in spirit. And so, where we've got leaven interpreted, you should have in that third box there, I'm sorry, put leaven of the doctrine of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy and so forth, and also, yeah, that's what should be in the third column, sorry. Then the leaven of the Sadducees is unbelief in the supernatural. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in spirit. So that's why we play on the word. The leaven of the Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection, so they were sad, you see. Okay, let's go to Mark chapter 8. Now, notice all these references about leaven are from Jesus. So we start to get a clue why they didn't ask him about, oh, interpret this parable, because they'd already had enough from Jesus. Go to Mark chapter 8, and in one box you can put this and then the interpretation. Mark chapter 8 and verse 15. And it says here, verse 13, and he left them and entering into the ship again departed the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then charged he them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of, put it in your column, the leaven of Herod. Beware, be aware of, warning, leaven of Herod. Okay, what's the leaven of Herod? Worldliness. In its broadest sense, because Herod was the one that was going to get Jesus crucified. In fact, Jesus, he hadn't read that book, How to Win Jews and Influence Pharisees in 6 Easy Lessons. And he called Herod a fox. And who was talking? The Lamb of God. And when I was on the farm, foxes used to love to suck the blood of the lamb. So here's the Lamb of God said to the fox, you get out of town. How many think that would be a good Walt Disney film? All right. So the leaven of Herod was worldliness in its fullest sense of the word. Now, the only other person in the New Testament that interprets leaven first is Paul. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians 5. You're doing okay there? All right. And very, very, very clear. Luke, 1 Corinthians 5, sorry. 1 Corinthians 5. Go back a few verses because those of you who are cooks with yeast or leaven, what's the action of yeast or leaven in a cake? It puffs up, it rises, doesn't it? Okay, listen to the language that Paul uses in Old King James and New King James. In verse 18 of chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, and I've underlined it, now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you, puffing up, the action of leaven. Verse 19, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord will, and we know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. Now go to verse in chapter 5 now, verse 2, and you are puffed up, and not rather mourned. Now verse 4, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you gather together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan, because he's dealing with a very extreme case of immorality here by a Pentecostal guy, for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? In Bible temple they used to say, know you not that a little Kevin leaveneth the whole lump? Verse 7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us, Passover. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, and here it is, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. So that's what's going to go in your column on the interpretation of the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So very clear, opposite to hypocrisy and lying. So leaven, 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 leaven. And then your last reference to leaven in the Bible, Galatians chapter 5, in your column there, Galatians chapter 5, and verse 9. Paul writing to the Galatian church, and just this verse, he says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Okay, so what's you fill in there? What was the leaven of the Galatian church? Legalism and Judaism. Legalism and Judaism, okay? So a little leaven leavens the whole lump. All right, now let's just sort of, I know I've just got to skip some material. Hold that for a moment, and then we'll bring it all together. Number 5 on your sheet there, number 10. Notice that the woman hides the leaven till all was leavened. Now, you don't hide the gospel. In the scripture I've given you there, Paul says, if our gospel be hidden, it's hidden to those who are lost. So this woman hides the leaven. She's doing something contrary to Passover, yet was permitted in Pentecost. So she hides it. So she's doing something forbidden. And I believe this is why the disciples didn't ask for the interpretation of this. Now, let's see where I can do all this. Try and bring this together here. Okay, you've probably got this filled in, but just in case, as we sort of try and wrap it all up here. Okay, let me see if I can wrap it up here. I know I'm moving fast. So here's the thing. In Passover, leaven was not allowed. It was forbidden, Passover, because Passover points to Christ. In the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Passover was not permitted. It points to Christ. In blood sacrifices, which I didn't read the scripture on that, any time blood was offered to the Lord, a blood sacrifice, leaven was forbidden, because all blood sacrifices pointed to the blood of Jesus. Then leaven was not permitted in the meal offerings, because Christ is our meal offering, except the corn and wheat and the fall into the ground and die. So it points to Christ. So all here, Passover, unleavened bread, blood sacrifice, and meal offering, all points to Christ, speaks of Christ. Now, where leaven was permitted, it was permitted in the sacrifice of thanksgiving and unleavened bread. So it was permitted there. It was permitted in the Pentecostal wave loaves with unleavened bread. So leavened bread was only accepted with the unleavened bread. And so Ephesians says, 1:6, that you and I are accepted in the Beloved. So how many know that none of us are perfect? How many of those are perfect here today? Hands up. You may go straight up in your rapture. See? You see, leaven was permitted in Pentecost because Pentecost points to the church with all our imperfections. Even though we're spirit-filled, we are not perfect. And God accepts us in Christ. So that's why leaven was permitted only in that feast, but it had to be offered with unleavened bread. So God accepts me, he accepts you with all our imperfections, even though we're spirit-filled, he accepts us in Christ. How many get the picture? That's the only feast it was allowed in. Then, what's happening here? Okay. All right, I thought it was going up in the rapture there. Okay. Okay. So Pentecostal church accepted in Christ, and it speaks of the church. See, all this points to Christ, speaks of Christ. But in the Pentecost here, it speaks of the church. Now, notice here, every reference of Jesus is to leaven is bad. Number one, leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy and false doctrine. Okay? Leaven of the Sadducees, unbelief in the supernatural. Number three, leaven of Herod, worldliness. Number four, the leaven of Corinth, sensuality. Pentecostal churches, yet sensual churches. Fornication, gifts of the Spirit, everything like that. Number five, leaven of Galatia, legalism, Judaism. And the reference is there. It speaks of evil and corruption. So what's this woman doing? So let's sort of try and summarize this here. I believe the woman represents the church of the Middle Ages. It's the middle parable. In the middle of the seven churches, there's a woman, Jezebel, who teaches people. She calls herself a prophetess and a teacher. She's corrupting the church. So the woman here is a bad woman, mixture. And then the leaven is all these things here, hypocrisy, unbelief, da-da-da. And you see, that's what the reformers tried to do. When the Reformation took place, they were trying to get the leaven out of the pure meal of God's word. We still have a lot of leaven to purge out yet. Okay? And so the leaven is bad, doctrine, all those things here. And what else? The three measures of meal representing the pure word of God. We're still purging out because a lot of Romanism still with us. Easter, Christmas. I'm sorry to mess up your parties, but they're all pagan. Got into the church. Leaven. Thank you, Kevin, for that very good point. It's sort of, I could just feel the silence then, you know. Okay. All right. I think you've just about had enough. How many think you've just about had enough? Let's go to our summary here then on page 10. And I'm done, and I think you're overdone. So I believe that this is the reason the disciples did not ask for any interpretation. They knew from Jesus what leaven symbolized. So summary lesson, the parable teaches of the inner corruption of the pure meal of God's word by the leavening influences of false doctrine and evil practices arising out of such. We are to purge out the leaven in order to be a pure church with a pure word. And everybody said, Amen. Phew. I'm done. Okay, just time for about two questions. Real good questions. Any questions on what we've done this morning? Any answers? Okay, let's all stand together. Let's have a word of prayer, and then I'll turn over to Brother Hong Sing. Thanks for being such a wonderful bunch. Let's all stand. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. Father, we just stand in your presence in these closing moments in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we just get so overwhelmed with the glory of your inspired, infallible word. We pray, Lord, that all of us will just let the seed of the word fall upon the ground of our heart. May we have good ground, honest hearts, Lord, and we pray that the Holy Spirit will water what we've studied briefly this morning. Father, bless your word to all of our hearts, and may it not just be a head trip, Lord, but may it go from our head into our heart and make us more like yourself. So thank you for our time together. Bless your people. Quicken them, Lord. And may we come back tomorrow night refreshed and energized for our final episodes. We give you all the praise and glory in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, Amen. 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 Amen.
Be sure to visit kevinconnor.org for more information about Kevin, his books, and his ministry.